These verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them in every one. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, healers, helpers, administrators, and speakers. All for the building up of the body of Christ. And what follows this discussion of life, work, and ministry together is St. Paul's great love poem, If I Speak in the Tongues of Men and Angels. It follows his description and discussion of what he calls the body of Christ, the church. I call this the green season in the church. From Pentecost until essentially Thanksgiving, the altar color is green. It signifies growth, it signifies nourishment, and it identifies the vast proportion of the church year that's set aside for simply doing the work, serving together, contributing each in our own way what Paul calls varieties of service, essentially getting the work done. Between the festival season that starts at Advent through Christmas, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost, well, this is the green season, the green season of service, varieties of service. This particular Sunday in the green season is also the red, white, and blue season, a moment at which we set aside a little bit of time to both celebrate, express gratitude, pay homage to those whose calling involved a particular kind of service, with particular kinds of consequences, ranging from setting aside the rest of one's life for a term of service, all the way to sacrificing one's life by placing one's self between harm and others. Varieties of service, but the same Lord, a particular kind of service for which we give thanks and offer our honor. All sustained by the same Lord. Everyone who serves in any one particular way is energized and strengthened and sustained by a spirit that inspires the kind of energy and character it takes to do what needs to be done. I had a little service opportunity this week in my job at Texas Tech. I had the opportunity to talk for about 15 minutes to 700 or so incoming first-year students and their parents. It was Red Raider orientation, and my job on the agenda was to talk about academic expectations. And believe it or not, this little talk winds up a little bit of line on a resume that's under service. Okay, so it was my variety of service, 15-minute talk, big deal. Academic expectations, and I thought about that. I thought, they can read this in the handbook. It's not that hard. And then I started thinking, you can do better than that. So what I told them is, you can read the handbook, but I expect of my students one thing. Just one thing. I expect them to succeed. I expect them to succeed. And I told the parents and the students, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and I have a fairly good idea of what successful students are about. And I think what I next told them kind of ties together a lot of what the green season in the church is about, and also what the red, white, and blue season in the United States is about this week. I told them, I said, successful students, well, I illustrated it with regard to an attendance policy I have in my class, which is in some ways trivial and even bogus because it doesn't involve much. I mean, I do take attendance about half the time. And I tell my students, if you miss any day of class, there's about a coin flip's chance that it'll cost you 2 points. 2 points in a class where 270 points are available. So there's this sort of minimal penalty for missing class, and you only receive the penalty by chance, right? That's not the point. I'd just soon not have students in class that don't want to be there, which is why the attendance policy is a little funky. But what I tell them is this, and this was the point. Successful students, measured by their attendance score, develop a life skill. I said, at the end of this term, you'll have a little score that's related to your attendance. And that for you is a barometer of how adept you've become at holding up your end of a contract. That's a life skill. You decided to sign up for this class. You know when the class meets. You know the days of the week it meets. You agreed in advance to be here then. Your attendance score illustrates how adept you are at holding up your end of a deal. It's called commitment. That is a life skill inspired by the Spirit that enables all of us in any way to actualize our calling. How good are you at doing what you agreed in advance that you would do and then follow through? It's called commitment. Varieties of service inspired by the Spirit to demonstrate commitment. Then I told them successful students also not only show up to class, but they do their work. And they do their own work. I said, I know there's a competing theory about this in politics, competing theory about this on the sports field, in business. And the competing theory is if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Right? On the other hand, there is really no small price to pay for your integrity. And I told them about a student that was in my class actually last spring. And fudged the attendance signature, right? So this person tried to take advantage. She had somebody else sign in for her is what happened. And so she tried to get 2 points through cheating. Well, the TA caught it, and I called the girl into my office. And for one thing, I wondered, are you really college material if you're actually going to try to cheat your way into 2 points out of 270? Excuse me. I didn't say that. What I said to her was this. I said, this is the first time we've met. There are 300 students in the class. By the end of the class, I might know the names and faces of 10 of them. You're one. And I know 2 things about you now. I know your name, and I know you're willing to commit academic fraud. That's all I know about you. There's no small price to pay for the willingness to defraud. And then I told this group this last week, I said, on behalf of the faculty, I will tell you that we will do everything we can to uphold the integrity of that double T that's on your diploma in 4 years, right? It's your job to uphold the same level of integrity to the name that goes next to it, because then it's your diploma. It's your work. Successful students do their own work for better or worse, learn from their mistakes, live with the consequences of inattention, and grow in maturity, dignity, and integrity. It is one of those spiritual gifts that inspires the kind of service that builds up the body of Christ. And I talked a little bit more about a couple of other things, but then it hit me that commitment and integrity are at the heart of what we celebrate and honor for those whose particular calling involved placing themselves between harm and us and others. There's a measure of sacrifice that goes part and parcel with commitment and integrity. Now, all of us, when we serve, sacrifice something, time, money, or some such thing. A few of us, and on occasion, risk health to some degree, or perhaps safety in service, but not often. But those who have done so in the armed forces and who do so continually as first responders or in the medical field, they are inspired by the same Spirit that inspires all kinds of service through sacrifice. I watched an interview, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago with a pilot who served in combat over Vietnam and was actually the only one of his squadron to return to the U.S. safely. And that caused him a great deal of stress and anxiety and guilt and all of the things that go with being the only one, as it were. And it resulted in some relationship problems, and he drank and drugged a little and then a lot until finally he didn't, and said, you know, the thing that turned me around and that marched me forward and continues moving me forward essentially one day at a time was when it hit me that I honor their sacrifice. And he was referring to his squadron mates. He said, I honor their sacrifice by the way I live my life. That's the only way I can do that. The only way I can honor their sacrifice is to live my life in a way that holds up my end on, and at this point I would say, commitment and integrity, decency and dignity, all of those things that inspire through the Spirit all varieties of service. And it's in fact the reason we get together every Sunday, to in some sense remember and then draw strength from the experience of singing and hearing the word and even thinking about some of these kinds of thoughts, that we move forward from here to honor the sacrifice of the one who so loved the world that he gave his only son, to honor his sacrifice with the way we live our lives. Now, we will not live our lives with perfect commitment and integrity and decency and dignity, but I think we've got a better chance of doing it more often than we would otherwise, as we pause to honor those whose specific calling was to be between us and harm, to join with them and live what we are called to be about with the same gifts that enabled them to do what we thank them for today. Commitment. How adept have you become at holding up your end of a deal you agreed to in advance? Integrity. Let it be you. Let it be yours. Dignity and decency. There are varieties of service of which we have all been granted the grace to receive a calling. A calling to honor their sacrifice. Amen.